Good morning.
Thought about it, like,
welcome to Osage.
After Friday afternoon.
Hope you're getting warmed up and ready to worship the Lord. Let's stand together and begin our worship time together.
I actually think
oh, come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. Oh, adore him. Sing choirs of angels, sing in exaltation. Oh, sing all ye bright hosts of heaven above. Glory to God, all glory in the highest. Adore him. Oh, sing hallelujah. Come, let us adore him. Oh, sing hallelujah. Come, let us adore him. Yea, Lord, we greet thee, born this happy morning. To thee be all glory give. Word of the Father, now in flesh appearing. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Adore him. Oh, sing hallelujah. Come, let us adore him. Oh, sing hallelujah. Come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We got quite a few announcements here real quick. First, inside your bulletin, there's a pamphlet, and that will start. That's for the week of prayer, and that starts today. That's for the missions. December, all of the month of December, we'll be doing the Lottie Moon special offering for the international missions. Tonight, starting at 6 o'clock, we'll continue our Revelation video, starting at 6, I said that. Let me make sure. Deacons meeting on the 8th, start at 7 p.m. December 11th, we'll have a business meeting. And there will be a youth committee meeting after this morning service. I think I got them.
All right. On the 21st, which is on a Wednesday, we are going to have the Children's Christmas Program, including, well, that's where I want to. We are requesting desserts from you all. We are hoping to have a lot of the Awana parents come. We've included the Awana kids in the program this year. That's why it's going to be on a Wednesday. And so Ms. Holly Grisham is heading up that organization for the getting the desserts here and the drinks and anything that might be go with refreshments for our parents and anybody who attends.
Along with the Christmas, what Ms. Cherie was wanting, we are needing the youth to help out with that, help the little kids up here on the stage. So any youth kids that want to help, let me or Erica or Lindsay or Lauren know you want to help, and that'd be greatly appreciated. All right.
Morning.
Good morning.
I'm looking for some keys to some vans if anybody has them. They're the brand new vans. We don't have any keys at all. And we did have two sets. Maybe somebody stuck them somewhere or put them in a pocket. I mean, I've even done it and took them home with me myself. But anyway, if you have any idea or can find them, that'd be fine. And this little thing here is usually back there with Betty, and somebody has used it and not returned it. This opens up the door to the, you know, come in and out. But anyway, we appreciate you.
Thank you, Travis.
Thank you.
All right, I think that's all of our announcements. Will y'all pray with me? God, thank you for this day. Thank you for the blessings you've given us, Lord. I pray for the holidays and everything going on this month, Lord. I pray we all remember why we're doing what we do. God, thank you just for giving us this time and this morning, God. I pray you watch and protect us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Our first Sunday in December, and so we want to recognize those in our midst that are going to be having birthdays in December and anniversaries. So if you're having a birthday this month, please come forward. Let us celebrate that with you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Birthday.
Daddy's is in December.
91. Mr. John, happy birthday. All right, any anniversaries in the month of December if you've been making your way forward? Anniversaries? All right, let's sing. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary, God bless you. Happy anniversary to you. Mr. White. How long have y'all been married? 55 years. Thank you. Let's stand together. Shepherds came to see a baby, stood by his mother's side. Here lay the Savior inside a manger. Oh, what a glorious night! Oh, what a glorious night! I hear the angels singing, hallelujah, let the earth receive her. I know that love has come. Sing it out. Jesus Christ is born. Jesus Christ is born. The shepherds wondered, they couldn't hide it, told everyone inside. All were amazed when they heard how God came down on this glorious night. God came down on this glorious night. I hear the angels singing, hallelujah, let the earth receive her King. I know that love has come. Sing it out. Jesus Christ is born. I know that love has come. Sing it out. Jesus Christ is born. Jesus Christ is born. I hear the angels singing, hallelujah, let the earth receive her King. I know that love has come. Sing it out. Jesus Christ is born. Now all is quiet, a star shining in the sky. Below in Bethlehem, a star is sleeping. Oh, what a glorious night! Oh, what a glorious night! Amen. Amen. Go tell it on the mountains, over the hills and everywhere.
stepped down from heaven, humbly you came. God of all creation, here on earth, in a starlit manger,
oh. Amen. We're delighted that you're in the Lord's house with us today. And if you're visiting with us for the first time, there's a visitor's card there in the pew in front of you. We'd appreciate if you'd fill that out, drop it in the offering plate as it comes by, and we'd have a record of your visit. Our man will come now and receive the morning offering.
Let us pray. Father, we thank you this morning for the opportunity that is given us to meet in your house this morning. And Father, as we enter the season of giving, we just thank you for the gift that you gave and the salvation that is with our receiving. And Father, we just pray that each of us might know that peace that comes with your salvation. Father, we just thank you for your many blessings. We just pray, Father, that as we give this morning, that we give with a cheerful heart, that truly we might express our worship to you, that you be pleased with our worship and our giving this morning. And Father, we just ask that you bless it, use it for your honor and your glory. These things I pray and give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.
Dismiss our children's church at this time. If you are in charge of those, you can take charge now. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Romans, the sixth chapter. The book of Romans, the sixth chapter.
It's a long reading, but you can stand it. Let's stand together, and I'll read from my translation as you follow along in yours. Romans 6, and beginning with verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, and here's a good word you'll want to remember this one. It's the word reckon. That's a bookkeeping term in Scripture. It means that you write it down as it's happened. This is how it is. You can't write down something that it's not. It is how it is. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Christ, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are, to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when you were servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had you then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness, and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Father, as we come to this time in the service, we want to do our very best to yield to you this time. I just pray the words that come from me be of you and not of myself. I pray that your Holy Spirit would continue to God, direct in this time that we have together. I pray, Lord, that you would cause people who have ears to hear, and that their mind would comprehend the word of your word. I pray that you would open our spiritual eyes this morning to see your truth. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. A few years ago, a book came out, and I was, tell you the truth, I was really taken with it. The name of the book was What Would Jesus Do? And I thought it was good at that time. I see a lot of bracelets and charms and different things and Bible markers that said WWJD, What Would Jesus Do? But I've made a discovery since then. The secret of the Christian life is not us attempting to imitate Jesus in our own energy. You'd say, well, what could be wrong with that? Well, if we're not cautious, it'll turn out to be a works salvation. It'll be a work in our way through. Talked to a man not long ago, and he talked about his theory of getting to heaven. Asked me, he said, so what you're telling me is that if I live the very best life that I can live, I'm a good guy, a good man, do those things that are right, and I do not accept Christ as my Savior, I die and go to hell. And the next man can do everything wrong, live an ungodly life, come to the end of his life, and accept Christ as his Savior, and die and go to heaven. Right. Well, I don't want to have anything to do with that kind of religion. But the truth is this. We can't decide for ourselves who goes to heaven and who doesn't by our own standards. You see, if men could be good enough, if women could be good enough to live a life to cause them to be good enough to go to heaven, there would have been no reason for Jesus Christ to have come and died on the cross to pay our sin debt. Now, I hope that I get far enough along in this message that we talk about justification. And justification is a one-time thing that's good through eternity. Just as if you haven't. God justifies you. The justifier, the book of Romans says, that God is the justifier. No one else can do that. He justifies us. The secret to the Christian life is accepting our, that word that we talked about a little earlier, reckoning, our death in Christ, and then allowing Jesus, who is now indwelling us, to live his life through us. We just read it. That I give him my hands to do with what he chooses. Oh, no, Lord, I think that perhaps this over here would be a little better deal. So I use my hands over here. For my eyes to be his, that I see what he directs me to see. No, Lord, I think I will decide where my eyes go, what my eyes see. I'll decide for myself
what it would take to get to heaven. Not what the Bible teaches, but what I think would be right. Well, you just make up your own doctrine and your own religion, and many people have done that. It is He and not me who lives the victorious life over sin. And the quicker we come to that, the better off we will be. I'm not saying that we don't have choices. Of course we have choices. And our choice is to surrender our body to Him, to surrender our lives and our thoughts and our mind to Him. I cannot be the father that God has called me by my own efforts. But if I let Him live that life through me, I can be what He has chosen me to be, what He's still working on me about. I told my wife this morning, I said, there is no doubt, if I get to this part of sanctification, sanctification is an ongoing thing in our life that we're going to spend a little time talking about. The Scripture talks about it here. That justification is a one-time thing. Can't be saved over and over and over. That's an impossibility. When you receive Christ as your Savior, if it's the real thing, if you're the real thing, if you're just not looking for some kind of fire escape, if the Holy Spirit has dealt with your heart and you understand that you are a sinner and lost, and you come to that place to repent, that means to change your mind about Jesus, to change your mind about the Bible, that you repent. And it literally means turn directions, it's changing directions. And so when you come to that place and you ask Jesus to come into your heart and be your Savior, at that very moment that you ask Him into your heart, the Bible says you are justified. God justifies you just as if you haven't. Now, let's talk about that. What does that mean? What does it mean for God to justify you? So what have we learned so far in Romans? Am I not on? Yeah, go. We got some new people running the deal back there. Oh, it's on here and the light's on. Let it rip. Tater chip. Are we on now? Not on now? Not on now? We're not on now? We're on now? But this is picking me up. We're on now? Okay. Kind of like the guy that got a job at the post office and they told him, don't touch anything. You just stand over there and watch. And somebody got the mail in the wrong box and they come in and complaining about it. And the postmaster said, well, we've got a new guy working here today. Do we ever get her going? Okay. Well, all right. Let's use this. You want me to start all over? Some of you shaking your head. No. Okay. Romans 1 through 5 teaches eternal salvation of the sinner through justification by faith. So what is justification? It's used three times in the Bible, only in the book of Romans. Romans 4:25, raised again for our justification. Romans 5:16, gift is of many offenses unto justification. Romans 5:18, come upon all men unto justification of life. The word justify
is found 43 times. The justifier is found only once, and that's here in the book of Romans 3:26. The justifier, that is God, of him which believeth in Jesus. So let's look at justification. It occurs instantly at the moment of our salvation. Now, this is the part I really wanted us to get to. It removes the guilt of sin. Now, when I first started dealing with this part of justification, that it removes the guilt of sin. Am I on yet? Am I on yet? Huh. Well, what the deal is? Huh. Well, I'm wanting to get loose here, and it's kind of got me a little bit bound. We might. It removes the guilt of sin. And I thought about it removes the guilt of justification, removes the guilt of sin. Then why is it? I'm over there right now. Then why is it that I feel guilty for my sin? If justification removes the guilt of sin, then why do I still feel guilty about the sins of my past? I'm going to explain that next Sunday. It's on now. Let me go. Yeah. It removes the guilt of sin. This is what the deal is. Am I still on? Good. This is what the deal is. I kept reading that over. It removes the guilt of sin. Then why is it that I still feel guilty, Brother Darrell, over my sin? Well, this is what the deal is. It removes the guilt of sin. Listen to me today. This is a really important doctrine. It removes the guilt of sin. It means that I'm no longer guilty of my sin, no matter how I feel. I'm justified. Now, if I had been taken to the courtroom and the judge said, we're going to release you, justified. The judge is the only one that can release you. We're going to wipe that guilt away. And we're going to claim you innocent. And that's what God did whenever He justified us, whenever we received Christ as our Savior. And we're no longer guilty. We're no longer guilty. It doesn't matter how I feel. It doesn't matter that I still feel guilty over my sin. That doesn't matter. The truth is, the reckoning is that God has justified me and I'm no longer guilty before Him. Did you get it? You got it. Hang on to it because it's going to be important. Because you know what? You can remember your sin. There's another old boy, old Slewfoot, can remember it too. He just keeps bringing it up, and he keeps bringing it up. He likes for you to feel guilty. He doesn't want you to know the freedom of being saved, being justified, that God has wiped your slate clean, and that you're no longer guilty. I'm no longer guilty because of His justification. Number three, He removes the penalty of sin. Justification removes the penalty for sin. I was born with a sin nature. I didn't have to have somebody teach me how to sin. It's just there. You don't have to teach your baby how to be selfish or to cry when there's not anything wrong. It's just there. You have a sin nature. And by the way, when you get saved, you don't lose that sin nature.
He removes the penalty of sin. That is, that hell was created for the devil and his angels, and everyone that does not receive Christ as their personal Savior. That's the penalty for sin. But he removes that. You see, when you get saved, you're not dawdling between heaven and hell. You're on your way to heaven. The Bible speaks in terms of past tense. You're already there. I mean, you're still here, but you're already there. I'm already there. Because I've received Christ as my Savior. The ticket's been paid. Jesus has already died. The old account was settled long ago. Long ago when I was saved? No. Long ago. 2,000 years ago when Jesus Christ died on the cross, my account was settled. Now, I don't claim to understand this, but some way God made it so that Jesus took Lanny Younger to a cross. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet it's not I that live, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live, I live to bring glory to Him. And then the fourth thing that justification does, it declares us righteous. Because you and I are not. We're not. We are. But He declares us righteous because we take on His righteousness, not our own righteousness. In Romans 6 through 8, there's this word sanctification used. And it really is sanctification through the righteousness of God. Let me read you something that John Gates wrote about sanctification. Y'all know who John Gates is? Yeah, some of you do. You just forgot. If you took the FBI class here a few years ago, John Gates was the one that taught that class. There are multiple aspects of God's work of sanctification for the believer. Positional sanctification occurs at salvation, and it sets us apart from the penalty of sin. We already talked about that. Practical sanctification occurs throughout the life of the believer and sets us apart from the power of sin. Perfect sanctification occurs at the rapture, and it sets us apart from the presence of sin. I thought that was a great definition. Because I have a sin nature now, but there's going to come a time when I'm raptured that I'm going to lose that sin nature. He's working on me. The doctrine of practical sanctification occurs gradually throughout the life of the believer. I told my wife this morning, I said, it seems like that if he's still working on me, I can't tell it. I feel like I'm getting any better. You feel like that sometimes? Removes the power of sin. In other words, I have a choice now. I don't have to. I don't have to serve sin. There was a time that I had to, but now I don't have to because I'm saved. And it removes the growth of sin. I think that's depending on our own decisions in our life. And He makes us righteous. Romans 6, 1 and 2, grace does not provide freedom to sin. but freedom from sin. Let me close with this. I'm going to have to quit sooner or later. Mick Gathright came in one day this week and had this on my mind when he came in. He's a jet airplane pilot and has been for years. And I said, explain to me aerodynamics. You didn't even know I knew that word, did you? And so he said, okay. Well, he said, I can draw it out for you better than I can explain it. So he took a piece of paper and he drew a long pipe-shaped image. And he drew it together in the middle like this, more narrow. And he gave me this guy's name that I don't remember. And he said he measured the pressure on that pipe where with water in it, water flowing through it. And he said he measured the pressure out here on this outside, which was this size here, and the pressure over here. And the pressure where it came in the pipe and the pressure where it came out of the pipe was the same. But in the middle, what would you guess the pressure would be in the middle when it was narrowed down? Well, my thought immediately was that it was more. But you know what? It was less. And he said, but this is the secret. It is less pressure because it flows faster. And here is this curve. And the water flows faster over that curve. And so he explained to me that it's not the wind under my wings that we sing about that lifts us. It is the wind over our wing that lifts us, that lifts the airplane. It's not under the wing. It's over the top of the wing. And he took a piece of paper held it. I probably can't do this. But he held it over his mouth like this and he blew over the top of the paper. You see what the paper did? It lifts. Paper lifted. He did a better job than I did. But the paper lifted. It lifted. If I am in an airplane, the factor of aerodynamics is lifting that airplane. Huge weights. But it's lifting that airplane. If I'm in the airplane, I'm enjoying the fact of that principle of aerodynamics. I'm riding in that airplane, and the wind is lifting those wings, and I'm able to ride in it. I'm able to stay there. But if I choose to step out of the door and get off the airplane and fly it, I would discover immediately that the principle of gravity is still in effect. And it would suck me to the ground. I'd look like a cat been run over by a car. So what's the point, preacher? Now I'm able to choose. Walk in the Spirit, the Bible says, and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So God gives me this opportunity because I'm justified and because He's living within me and He is sanctifying me. He has got a work going on in me that I can walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And so I would fulfill what He has called the church to do. In the Scripture, and He says that we're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good, what? Works. And glorify your Father which is in heaven. We are to be salt and light to the world that we are living in. And it is through that work that the Lord is doing in us that brings out the salt and the light in our lives. Why did Paul say, would you live in sin? Because you're saved by grace? And he said, God forbid. You don't do that. I don't do that. I have a choice. Matt, come and help us. Monica, you're here today and have not accepted Christ as your Savior. I want to urge you to do that today. Perhaps you're here and you've never followed the Lord in believer's baptism. That's your next step. If you've asked Jesus into your heart as Savior, your next step is to follow Him in believer's baptism. Maybe you're a member of another church and you feel like that God has directed you to become a part of this one. You can do that by transferring your letter here if it's a church of like faith and order, or on a statement that you've been saved and scripturally baptized. And if you've not been scripturally baptized, we would be thrilled to be able to do that. Let's stand together as we sing.
Have you failed in your plan of your storm-tossed life? Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. Are you weary and worn from its toil and strife? Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. He will keep to the end. He's your dearest friend. Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand.